is the Freedom Beans, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. From Pod Bay 2A at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, a mile above sea level. I'm your host, Mr. Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. I'm talking to Mr. Jim Jesus. Do you have a wrestling name yet, Jim Jesus?
I thought it was the myth and, what is it, the misanthrope mongoose?
The misanthropic fungus? No, the misanthropic mongoose. Yeah, I think we're going to go with that. I like it.
That sounds good. I love it, yeah.
Yeah. So that song that's playing by my old band, didn't you just get some 12-inch vinyl? 12 inches of hot vinyl? Yeah, tell me about that.
Oh, it's great.
Record geek. I don't even have that, and I'm on it and wrote it and sang on it.
Well, you should pick up a copy. It wasn't that much.
I was going through all the different...
You got to get one, man.
Dude,
you have to get
one. Dude, those are so 1990.
Hey, man, the reason I like vinyl is because it's a lot more, or vinyl records is because it's a lot more dynamic than a lot of like digital recordings. A lot of digital recordings, they compress it to make it all the same level the whole way through volume wise. And it just, it gets grating after a while. So you if you got a lot of vinyl and stuff, you can't do that with vinyl. Okay. Otherwise the needle will skip off the record.
Yeah. Although you can do it more. You can get more dynamics out of the format we used on one side of that record. 12-inch singles that play at 45, you can get more dynamics because there's more groove per inch per second. And that record is 12-inch, one side 45, and one side's 33. It's an EP. What's it called? Lucy and Scott Desi or Happy All the Time? It's called Happy All the Time.
No, it's Happy All the Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy All the Time. And I was looking on Discogs, which is like a website. It's kind of like eBay for vinyl
nerds.
Records. And
for
music geeks.
Vinyl betas. No, I'm kidding.
And I was looking for an album that had the theme songs and stuff from the show. And I found one, and it was only like $3 plus shipping, which was another $3.
Yeah.
So I got a really good deal on it.
Our records are always like either $3 now or like $150. They're usually, they're never like $10 or $15. You know, they're never normal prices. They're generally deep discount or like collector's prices.
Yeah. And it was in really good condition too. I didn't even have to clean it. It was so nice. But I did clean it anyway.
Nice.
I'm a nerd.
Yeah, you are, Jim Jesus.
Yeah. What can I say?
So,
and a misanthrope.
Yeah, that's the word for the day. So you wanted to talk about libertarian theme parks and how they'd exist in the absence of government regulatory bodies. Although that's not really the story with Class Action Park, right?
Action Park. It was actually known as, Traction Park, Accident Park, and Class Action Park by a lot of the locals and the doctors
nearby. You're burying the lead. Okay. Action Park is the real name of it, and where was it and when? And what?
Action Park
where, when,
was,
what, how, and why? You're a journalist,
okay.
Jim.
Yeah, it started in 1978 in Vernon, New Jersey. It was a park that was started. Oh, excuse me. It was a park that was started by a guy who was kind of described to be like a mix between Barnum and Bailey and Walt Disney, and he wanted to create a park that had you in control of the fun. So a lot of parks, you know, you sit in a ride and it takes you through the ride. He wanted you to like be able to control the ride and do stuff, and so they had. And he didn't hire any like engineers to get, he didn't hire any engineers to build the rides. He just would sit in a room, anyone who would have a great idea for a ride. And there's a lot of drunk teenagers
build
that he hired and he'd give them $100. There you go.
Build your own adventure park. Yeah.
And a lot of them were ran by drunken teenagers, operated by drunken teenagers, and they have, to my knowledge, the highest death rate of any park, and they were only open for about 20-some years. They closed in, was it 1991?
First of all, I was conceived in New Jersey. People say New Jersey is a big cesspool and nothing good ever came out of there, but I came out of there. Second, you know, actually, I was having dinner with a girlfriend of mine.
Fiend phone.
And my dad.
Fiend phone.
Oh, we got someone coming on. And my dad at one point back in the day. And my dad told me that. I didn't know that. He said, you know, because we grew up in New York State. And my dad said, you know, Michael was conceived in New Jersey. And my girlfriend said, which exit? Which is kind of the joke in New Jersey. But the other thing is, don't a lot of people say that in a libertarian paradise, the world would be run by drunken teenagers?
Yeah. Well, here you go. This is a perfect example.
We got Lou. You there, Lou?
Yo. Hey. Lou. Hey. Is this a fly fishing and Maserati call-in show?
It is. Turn down your headphones, caller. You're feeding back. That's the thing about Fiend Phone. There's no noise reduction, which is why it sounds so good. but it also, oh, that sounds good. Consummate professionals. You know, we're, Jim and I were just raring to go, and Lou was going to come on, and Lou was going to take a few minutes, and I didn't want to wait. And I love, some people say, like, Davi was making fun last night when somebody came on late. I think it was Lou. He said, we are consummate professionals, ha, ha, ha. But I like the teaching hospital slash college radio vibe of the Freedom Fiends. And the thing is, when you sound really good and you are really good, you can kind of be loose about it. Like, a really good example, I think the Freedom Fiends are kind of like the Rolling Stones of talk radio. The Rolling Stones are like the best bar band in the world. You know, I mean, they've been playing for 127 years or something, and they're kind of, they're tight, but they're kind of loose at the same time. You know, they're kind of jammy. They're kind of rough around the edges, their music live. And yeah, so the Freedom Fiends, like, if you're really good, you can be kind of sloppy and still get away with it. So Lou, what's up? How are things in, what is it? Bear Droppings, Michigan?
Bear Scat, Michigan. Right, yeah. Down the road from Rabbit Fang, Michigan.
And
Field Mouse Attack, Wisconsin.
And 45 minutes away from Takeoff, Hoser, Canada, Quebec. No, what's Canada's right above you? It's not Quebec. What is it?
I think it might be Ontario, but I don't think Saskatchewan is too far away. And the sister city of
Saskatchewan. Bear Saskatchewan. Yeah.
Bear Scat's sister city, Moose Jaw, is in Saskatchewan.
That's a real one. So, Lou, we're talking about Action Park. Look that up on Wikipedia. It was a libertarian adventure park in New Jersey that was run by drunken teenagers and had the highest lawsuit and accident rate. The nickname for it was Class Action Park, Accident Park, and Traction Park, and it was named by that by doctors at nearby hospitals. So nice. Go ahead, Jim. What you got? What you got?
So the people who went there knew that when they went there, they were going to get injured. And it was kind of like a rite of passage. Like, everyone wanted to go there for the summer and come back to school with scars and burns all over, like friction burns all over them. And, you know, and everyone would be like, oh, you went to Action Park, didn't you? Of course.
Oh, man.
So one of the rides they had was called the Alpine Slide. And it was a ride that you go down the cement kind of like half tube or a little half pipe, and it was really small, and either the carts either didn't have brakes or the road really slow. So if you got the one that was riding real slow, you had to be careful because there's going to be people coming behind you that would ram into you at full speed. And if you're going fast, you know, you were going to run into someone else. And the first death of this park happened on that ride when one of the drunken employees was riding down it and fell off the ride and smacked his head up against a rock.
So not only was it dangerous, it was a lottery of how dangerous it was. It was, there was no consistency. Kind of like when you go to the supermarket, you want to get the cart without the wobbly wheel. But I think at Action Park, you wanted to get the cart with the wobbly wheel to ride down the cement sled on, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, look, I got a new, you know, I can't get a cool scar to show my friends if I get the really bad cart, right?
Man, I swear, Facebook is so creepy. I'm getting an ad for my dentist on Facebook, and like, I've never mentioned my dentist on Facebook. They're creepy, man.
You don't have to.
They're NSA book. All right, go on, gentlemen.
So what do we have? They had a water park attached to it as well. And if you have to see this picture, it's called the Cannonball Drop. You have to Google it. It looks like it's a long water slide that goes down, a big tube one. And then at the very end, it does a loop de loop at the very end and comes out. And, when they were testing this thing, they were offering $100 to the employees to test it. And they were coming back saying like the $100 didn't pay for enough booze to make the pain go away. and people would come out with bloody noses because as soon as they went up towards the top, their faces would smack on the ride. And it was only open for a couple of weeks, but there was no engineer that built this thing. Like, here's how we would do it, and here's how the forces would come up when you come down. No, it was just like, it was almost like the guy, Yeah, like a drunken teenager kind of like, maybe if we had the loop-de-loop go like this, and then the guy remembered how his finger went and then made the ride like, just like that.
Kind of like when you're in fifth grade and you're bored and you're drawing things in your notebook. When I'm rich, I'm going to have my own adventure park and no one will be able to go. Like Cartman. Like, I'll have none of them will be able to go. And I'll have, and the kid would, you, as a kid, you draw all these like death-defying kind of things that no one in their right mind would ever make. They actually made them and called it Action Park.
It sounds like Jay and Silent Bob were the creators of this thing, and Jay was like, hey, Silent Bob, wouldn't it be really cool if the roller coaster went up and did this and come back down and did that? And Silent Bob just said,
let's build it.
Oh, nothing. Yeah, no. Nothing. They also had grass skiing. I've never heard of this. Do you know what grass skiing is? It's basically skiing in the summer on a hill, like where you would ski in the winter, using what kind of looked like snowmobile treads on your feet that work really fast. Man,
this is the
it's training.
I have seen videos of snowmobilers going down the hill and then riding into a lake on grass.
Nice. This is, you know, grass skiing was invented as summer training for Olympic skiers for Winter Olympics, but it looks like something skilled individuals would be able to do, but drunken teenagers would probably end up in traction.
Was that the Jamaican ski team?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the bobsled team?
They had something called a transmobile. It's like sounds like a sex change on wheels, but I don't think that's what it is.
Yeah. They also had a tidal wave pull, and in the tidal wave pull, they cranked the limits all the way up, so it was constantly like flopping around everywhere, and people were drowning in this thing, and almost drowning and getting injured in it. Usually, they have like limits on how much the waves can go around, but they didn't care. They just were like, "Oh, I'll just crank it up to full. Let's crank it up to 11."
Holy crap! Holy crap! Yeah. Listen to this, Smoochie Boochie. They had super go karts. So they had a go-kart track, and at most go-kart tracks, they have governor devices on the motors, which are something to keep it from going over 20 miles an hour. However, park employees knew how to circumvent the governors by wedging tennis balls in them and allowing the bumper cars to go at 50 miles per hour. All right, we'll be back on the Freedom Fiends after a visit to Class Action Park in the limp hair of our mind.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends. I'm Michael Dean, talking to Jim Jesus, and we've been joined by Lusander Fiend, the Chop Chop Rooster. And Jim, Lou, meet Jim. Jim, meet Lou.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, good to meet you.
Nice to meet you after all this time.
That's how we do it on the Fiends.
Just do it live.
We'll F it. We'll do it live. Yeah, I'm actually thinking about
Feinstein it.
I'm actually thinking about a Henry Rollins spoken word piece where he's talking about how he'd been accused of being gay, and they said he was going to come out on MTV to Kennedy, and he said, I'm not gay. I don't have any problem with it, but if I were gay, you'd know it. I wouldn't be in the closet. I would have burned the closet for kindling by age 12. And second of all, if I were going to come out on public TV, I wouldn't do it on MTV to a Republican. I'd probably do it to some 16-year-old dude who has a fanzine and a broken tape recorder asking me, so, dude, why are you gay? And then he says, like, and, you know, being gay wouldn't be all that bad. I mean, if you liked men, I just don't like men. But, you know, it'd be like, can you imagine how awesome that'd be? You would just, like, you wouldn't have to go through all the rigmarole. You go with women, talking to them. complimenting them. You would meet them during the act.
Hi, my name's Roscoe.
Yeah, I think Henry Rollins could have made much more money had he done it on Gay-Per-View.
Gay-Per-View. Yeah. All right, so we're talking about Action Park, also known as Traction Park, and Class Action Park, a very popular, very dangerous New Jersey theme park that no longer exists for some reason. So what you got, guys?
Well, actually,
Jay and Silent Bobber from New Jersey.
Yeah. It actually does exist now. They reopened the park, but all the rides are neutered and safe now.
Oh, that's so boring.
What's the point? Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like much of a rite of passage anymore.
No. This is kind of defeats the purpose.
Going back to what you're talking about with the, the go-karts. Yeah. The mowers with seats and
they don't could have go 50 the, miles like, an hour. Things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
With no airbags.
All the military vehicles that I ever drove had a governor on them, which was a little post underneath the gas pedal, and you could get a big old monkey wrench and twist it and get rid of it. And so anyway, you got the governors and you can't exceed like 55 miles per hour or something like that. You could tweak it a little bit, but when it comes time for a deployment, all those little metal posts are taken out and thrown into a scrap heap or a toolbox. Anyway, they're taking out because there's just some times where you can't be governed. When being governed restricts
and
limits you. Yeah, being governed limits you.
Speaking of military vehicles, Action Park also had an actual tank ride. And it had a gun that fired tennis balls at other tanks. Now, here's one of my favorite parts. They had super speedboats in a small pond, which was known to be heavily infested with snakes. Oh, Lip Air, man. This is what everyone thinks everything would be like in Lip Air. See, in Lip Air, people think in Libertarian Paradise, without the government, the whole world would be dangerous snakes and 50-mile-an-hour go-karts. It would not be. But there definitely would be Action Park Classic again. But not all amusement parks would be as dangerous as you know, they'd be safe as they are now or safer. But
and you would go in under the full knowledge.
The bumper boats were supposedly safer than the super speed boats in the snake infested pond, but the engines often leaked gasoline at least once, requiring medical attention for a rider who got too much on his skin.
The Tarzan swing is one of my favorites. It's a It's just, like it says, just a rope that goes over a pond and you flop in it and you have to wait in line for a while. And there'd be kids waiting on this thing.
Into Snake Lake. Yeah.
Yeah. And there'd be like little kids in the line and, you know, the teenagers would, you know, expose themselves, then flop into the pool. And it was known for causing heart attacks because the water was coming from a natural spring that was really cold. So as soon as you hopped in, you'd seize up and a lot of people would have heart attacks. Yeah, one man died from a heart attack after experiencing the swing.
Yeah. Do you remember that Camp Krusty in The Simpsons?
Vaguely.
They had a song, too. It was, "Hail to thee, Camp Krusty, on the shores of Big Snake Lake. Though your swings are rusty, we know they'll never break. From your gleaming mess hall to your hallowed baseball field, to your spick and span infirmary where all our wounds are healed." All right. Who's that?
I'm on their website. I'm not seeing any of these references. I wonder why.
Yeah. Because government.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Libertarian paradise, children would be allowed to get hurt having fun. To an extent, if their parents were smart. All right, I'm going to play this 1983 ad for Action Park. It doesn't sound that scary in the ad, but here we go.
Just go to Action Park. There's no other park like it.
When it's hot out, this is a great place to spend the day with your family.
In the snake-infested water.
It's a big thing for little kids to them.
I love Action Park because it's so beautiful.
It's like coming to Broadway. It's wonderful.
Ah! Race like a pro. It's great.
These are the most amazing rides in the world. I love it here.
There's nothing in the world like Action Park.
Nothing in the world.
Yeah, there is nothing. But there's a documentary about Action Park, too. If you want to Google that, YouTube that. So tell me more, Jim and Lou, about the joys of Action Park and how the government ruined it.
Okay, so I guess there was
the government don't care about. They don't care. The government doesn't care about kids. They want to protect them. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, they had an insurance company that was based in. It was offshore. I can't remember what country. It was some third world country, and it was basically kind of like, you know, handling, quote unquote, handling all of the complaints that were coming in and threatening lawsuits, and they were like, yeah, whatever, and just swept that under the rug.
Yeah, come to Burma, and we'll litigate. Yeah.
Yeah, and finally the federal government cracked in and was like, okay, we have to have regulations for parks now. So we can blame Action Park for more regulations. But they had like, was it six people died from the riots at Action Park?
Whoa. Usually they close one after one person dies. But, you know, it's New Jersey. Hey, did the mafia have anything to do with this place? 1980s in New Jersey sounds like the mafia to me.
You know, it was just a really kind of eccentric person who just decided to open up a theme park.
Would have been safer if the mafia were running it. It'd be like a casino.
Yeah exactly. Look at Vegas.
Yeah. Nobody got robbed in Vegas back in the old days.
I know. Do you ever get robbed in Vegas,
you
Jim?
You still don't.
Jim lives in Vegas.
No. But there is a lot of crime out here. And it's mostly in North Vegas, though, and on the Strip. That's where it's really bad. But the casinos don't get robbed.
It looks like original Action Park went from 78 to 96.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, almost 20 years. I mean, that's a good run.
Whenever they would want to test a new ride at Action Park, they would offer the employees, any of them would get a $100 bill to ride the new ride. Tom Fergus, who described himself as one of the idiots who took the offer, said, $100 did not buy enough booze to drown out that memory.
And Dante said, I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Salsa shark.
So they're basically using drunken teenagers as test dummies for $100.
This is great.
You got to admit that most teenagers aren't, you know, any much more useful than drunken test dummies anyway, so.
Tidal Wave Pool. Yeah, the first patron death occurred here in 1982. Another visitor drowned in this common water attraction park 5 years later. It was called instead of the Tidal Wave Pool, the nickname was the Grave Pool.
Oh, yeah. That one was great because, yeah, they had no regulation or no regulators on the waves. They just cranked it up to 11 and just let people drown in it.
Would you attend this park, Jim, if it were in your town and like this now?
Yeah, I would, but I would know that I would probably not come back home afterwards.
You'd probably just videotape people getting hurt and not take the rides yourself. Or would you ride? Would you ride everything?
I would, but I'd be very, I'd be very cautious. But at the same time, it'd be like, I know that I could possibly die on this thing, but that's the cool part. Like, I can go home if I survive and say, oh yeah, I rode the Tarzan swing and the Alpine slide.
My wife's intrigued by this. She likes amusement parks. I would not do it. Let's see, the kayak experience. After the second visitor death, it was closed permanently. It had submerged electric fans to agitate the submerged electric fans. That there's something wrong with that word cluster to agitate the water. So read some of these, Lou.
Oh God, we're way past Jay and Silent Bob. This is full blown Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, they would love this. They would sneak in.
Okay, I'm going to do a quote here. Park officials said this made the injury and death rate statistically insignificant. Okay, so...
So only one in 50 people die. Yeah. It's safe, man. Come on down.
Yeah, Jim, you should go there.
Fate's with you, man. Only one in 50 people... I'm kidding, but yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, well, they estimate over 1 million visitors a year. With as many as 12,000 coming on some of the busiest weekends. But anyway, they said that the injury and death rate was statistically insignificant. Nevertheless, the director of the emergency room at a nearby hospital said they treated from 5 to 10 victims of park accidents on some of the busiest days, and the park eventually bought the township of Vernon extra ambulances to keep up with the volume.
Oh man! Well, see, it's a libertarian paradise. They're private corporations are taking care. They're not foisting the public with their increased needs. They're paying their fair share. They're buying more.
Yeah, ambulance ride, 5 tickets, and show your bracelet.
In the beginning, there was demand.
Well, I gotta say, in the ad, we heard it, but I watched it, and the kids looked genuinely excited, and I don't think they're actors. Like the teenagers in it. With their 70s feathered haircuts, looked like they were really psyched to be there, I gotta say.
Yeah, especially the ones that were tall enough to ride the ambulance ride.
You have to be 3 feet tall to ride the ambulance ride. Tell me more, gentlemen, about Action Park or Traction Park in New Jersey, the ill-fated, not around anymore, coolest and most dangerous amusement park in the world.
So I guess if you were... Oh, go ahead.
Okay. A few rides were closed and dismantled due to costly settlements and rising insurance premiums in the 1990s. Squares. And at last, the park's attendance began to suffer.
Speak up, son. Speak up like you're on radio.
Oh, gosh. Maybe I lost some internet power and I'm not as loud as I used to be.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, they began to suffer as the recession early in that decade reduced visitation. Either that or everybody was like... I'm trying to recover from their previous visit, but anyway. GAR was finally forced into bankruptcy in 1995, and the original Action Park operated with no insurance policy for its last several years of its first run. Wow. But it says that they need a proper citation for that.
Okay, here's a baffling thing. Management's decision to broad customer base by advertising in Spanish language media contributed to the accident rate. Since none of the employees spoke Spanish and no written information was available in the language. So imagine you go to another country or you're living in another country where you don't speak the language and you go to the most dangerous park in the world where they can't tell you how to not get injured. Wow. The staff's indifference to park rules made for a lawless culture among visitors who... accidents were deemed by park employees to be the fault of the riders. A state official lamented that many water slide accidents were due to guests who, in blatant violation of an explicitly posted rule, would discard their mats midway down the slide and wait for their turn so they could go together. Oh, man.
It's not my fault. We took the regulator out of the go-kart and you crashed at 60 miles an hour. 50. Your fault for 50. Getting on the ride.
You know how fast and dangerous 50 miles an hour in an unprotected, open, small vehicle would be when the whole point. Okay, 50 doesn't sound incredibly fast, but I got to say, people often die in car accidents at 50 miles an hour, and that's when they go off the road and hit a tree or something. Not when they are. The whole point of what they're doing, like in go-karts, is to hit other vehicles over and over and over.
No, that's bumper cars. Go-karts, you're supposed to, like, you know, just drive around and...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe you might, you know, try to run somebody off the road with a go-kart.
Yeah, The beer also...
It's not Crash Up Derby.
The park also sold beer in many kiosks on the ground. With similarly relaxed enforcement of the drinking age, doctors often treated injuries of people who were intoxicated. Hey, Lou.
There's actually a video. Yeah, there's actually a video of, I think MTV went there and they had a...
With Alice in Chains.
Yeah. You could just see kids running around drinking.
the singer in Alice in Chains is dead. So by status logic, Action Park kills people.
Yeah, it's terrible.
He had to do heroin to forget the memory of Action Park.
I think he did the cannonball loop.
Yeah. So read me some more, Lou. Tell me some more.
Okay, here's the sad part.
Speak up, son, like you're on radio.
Here's the sad part.
Thank you.
Action Park closed at the end of the season, as usual, on Labor Day, September 2nd, 1996. It was assumed that it would reopen on Memorial Day weekend of 1997, as usual. However, the financial state of GAR continued to cast a pall over the operations of both Action Park and the Great Gorge Ski Resort. The park's opening was first pushed back to mid-June 1997 and then 4th of July weekend that never came to pass. As GAR announced in July that it was shutting down its operations immediately, including the park.
Aww. Wah, wah, wah.
Time to play Amazing Grace.
I still think my favorite part of this whole thing is that the park bought the township extra ambulances. Oh, this sounds like a joke, but it's true, man. There's a long article about this on
Wikipedia. Just think of it as an investment in the future.
Oh, yeah. What? Like weeding out those who will not help the gene pool?
Well, no, they purchased the ambulances because they knew they were going to need them. Rather than being freeloading parasites,
yeah.
You know, they said, all right, hey, you know.
They solved the free rider problem. Share. You know, that's the thing that liberals or statists always argue is, who would solve, you know, there's the free rider problem. How would that be dealt with in a private economy? How? By
Action Park.
By amusement parks that seem like they're designed to injure children, paying for the extra, needed vehicles.
Or travel agencies.
About that too.
Yeah, or travel agencies that specialize going into dangerous places like Iran or Syria. Yeah.
And the park,
they'll take care of it.
It wasn't just people from New Jersey. People came from New York City to go there. I'm thinking of Escape from New York for some reason, but...
Well, if you escape from New York, why in the world would you ever go to Jersey?
Oh, so you can,
exactly.
Well, because it's got Action Park and Manhattan doesn't. Although parts of Manhattan kind of are Action Park, or they were in the 80s for sure.
Derek J is from New Jersey, and since he's our co-host and a great guy, you know, I can't say that all of New Jersey is bad, but with the exception of Derek J, New Jersey, you know, it
and Bruce Springsteen,
it's ungood.
He was good about 50 years ago. So, but isn't Derek? I thought Derek J was from Philly, but the New Jersey end of Philly.
I think he was born in New Jersey. I think
states are so small out there. It's not, you know, like Wyoming's as big as the whole Eastern Seaboard, pretty much. All right, we'll be back.
Small states, big government.
Good point.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com. FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
All right, here we go.
Freedom,
Freedom Fiends. Thank you, Lou.
Yeah. The action park of the radio waves.
Yeah, so I'm quitting smoking tonight. I mean, not smoking, vaping. I quit smoking 2 years ago. I've decided that vaping is harming my lungs because I have asthma and it's making me winded all the time, and it is. So I'm quitting tonight. I'm sending all my vape to Chandler, and I'm sending all my batteries to Davi. And I actually found out you cannot mail the batteries that you use for vapes because they're lithium batteries. They have to be sent UPS ground. So there it is. But I told my wife, you know, a few days ago that I was going to do this. I'm like, yeah, when these two vapes I'm done with are out, I'm quitting, and I'm going to go on nicotine patches and then wean off that. So I'm probably going to quit tonight. And she said, okay, thank you for the warning. I'll go to bed early.
Is she going to quit?
No, she barely vapes, man. I mean, I go through as much vape in a day as she does in a week. I chain vape, which is part of the problem, and I can't cut down. And I can stop, but I can't cut down. So, yeah, you thought we were on air during the break. You guys kept talking because I had the ads down. So let's have you just repeat everything you said, since there's nothing wasted on the Fiends. What were you talking about, guys?
I don't know. Forget about that. Let's talk about your vaping thing. You know, I tried the nicotine patches a few years back. They tasted horrible. Couldn't keep them lit either.
Jim, what are
you? The gum is terrible too. Yeah, I quit cold turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I like about having Jim on this show? I mean, we're a lot different than a lot of the other Liberty podcasts and radio shows, because most of them talk about the daily, the daily tyranny and complain about it. And we don't do that. What we do is talk about, we have fun. We're kind of the radio show that would exist if the government were already out of the way. But I usually try to make it a point of like having some solid libertarian non-aggression principle. You know, all laws are enforced by the barrel of a gun talk during every show. But Jim Jesus just wants to talk about this crazy amusement park that killed children and how fun it would have been to go there and how much he misses it, even though he was never there. And I think I'm fine with that, man. I think I am, really.
And they probably didn't have any silly rules about smoking.
Yeah, I think everyone was stoned.
This was the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was the 70s, 80s, 90s.
Jersey's a party town, man. I tell you. It's really, because it's a horrible place to live, and you kind of have to be intoxicated on something to live there.
That's why they lowered the drinking age there.
They what?
I did basic training in Fort Dix, New Jersey, back in the late 80s.
You said Dix on the radio. You can't do that.
D-I-X, Fort Dix.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Fort Dix. Thank you for your food service, Lou. You were an army cook, right?
Yeah, part of the time.
Thank you for your food service. All right, tell me about New Jersey. Did you ever leave the confines of Fort Dix?
Yeah, I did. Christmas time, I was in a boot camp, and they had this thing called Christmas Exodus. And what they would do is you get a 2-week break, and they'd send you home so that you could like get out of shape and forget all the stuff that you learned in the first couple, you know, weeks or month of boot camp. So anyway, get back in like early January, and I am just sweating my brains out because I'm in my dress uniform with the trench coat.
And, BDU.
And what's that?
Your BDU.
No. It's the dress uniform.
Oh, the A. What is it called? Level A or Type A?
Class A.
Class A.
Yeah. So I've got the jacket, the tie. You know, my.
You look like a cute little soldier, yet. And we just want to pinch your cheeks because you're such a fancy boy.
I didn't even look like a soldier yet. I looked more like a wannabe. But anyway, so yeah, I'm coming back. I got my bag over my shoulder. I'm just sweating bullets. It's January, but it's hot out there. And it's like, oh my God, I'm dying here. And then the next morning I wake up and there's snow like everywhere. And it's just as cold as all get out. It was colder than Barack Obama signing a drone strike order on a bunch of children. And I'm like, the army controls the weather. The army controls the weather. And I was also convinced that the army put dust into the ventilation system so that you would have to like clean up and dust the barracks twice a day. And that would give the drill sergeants a reason to come yell at you for having a pigsty because you had like a, you know, a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a millimeter of dust on a windowsill.
Did you have fingernail inspections?
No.
I did in boarding school. My boarding school, the Church Farm School in Paoli, Pennsylvania, which is very near New Jersey, and a lot of the kids were from Jersey. And they were – people from Jersey are like people from New York. Within 2 minutes of knowing them, they'll tell you, and they're really proud of it. Of like, they're more nationalistic about it than like a lot of Americans are about being Americans. You know, I'm from New York. I'm from Jersey. Yeah. But we had.
But the best part,
fingernails.
The best part of New Jersey was going up to Philadelphia on the weekends.
Yeah, I went with our school priest and a couple other kids to go see the band Yes in the Round at the Spectrum Amphitheater in Philly. That was pretty fun. He was an anti-war
South Street,
guy.
Baby.
I've seen a picture of him with Obama. Ew, that guy's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. Worms.
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 Because, yeah, you played the theme, and we thought we were going.
No, no, so. No. I was. It just played through. played through.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, a mile above sea level. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenated radio waves to keep a thin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Lou and Jim? Is it working? Can you feel it?
It feels good.
Yeah?
I feel it, yeah.
Yeah, that was the hour one intro. The hour two intro is, this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Do you guys know where I get that from, Financial Beast Plaza? You know what that's a reference to?
It's a talk show host, right?
It's a what, Jim?
It's a conservative talk show host, right?
Sort of conservative, but it's the money guy. What's the money guy's name, DJ?
Was it Mad Money?
I can't remember.
Dave Ramsey.
Yeah. Dave Ramsey used to say he was broadcasting from high atop Financial Peace Plaza. You know, like being at peace with your finances, which is what he does. And he's actually not a bad radio host. He's not one of the ones that I have anything bad to say about. All I have bad to say about him is I could do his show. Like, I actually listen to his show when I'm driving sometime, and every time someone calls in and says, so here's my problem. I'm $40,000 in debt. My wife's in debt. My wife and I are $40,000 in debt. And
get out of debt.
And my third cousin's brother is having his wedding in Acapulco and invited us. Should I put the money for the tickets on my credit card, or should I put a fourth mortgage on my house? And like, I'm screaming, the guy's not even family. Don't go. And then Dave Ramsey's like, well, I think you should really evaluate this, whether you want to go or not. I'm like, yeah, I could do that show. All right. So it's basically just about being.
You forgot to say get out of debt.
Get out of debt. Well, DJ and I got out of debt and burned our credit cards like a 70s bra from a feminist about 4 years ago. Actually, before I ever heard Dave Ramsey. So we have a mortgage.
The wrong women were burning their bras back then.
Lou, always with a comment. So I'm going to get drunk on the air not really drunk. I'm gonna violate my Status Anonymous pledge. So Status Anonymous is this 12-step fellowship that Ben Stone and I have created. We've been doing a 36-part series on the 12 traditions, and 12 concepts of world service of Status Anonymous. And it kind of started as a joke of pointing out that the love of the state is an addiction more dangerous than heroin or crack and harder to quit. And I am recovering. I was in AA for many years. I quit going. Not a member anymore, but I'm still sober, coming up on 21 years. So we started this thing called Status Anonymous. And, you know, it's different for every, like, you have to give up liking the state. But it's also about giving up bad ideas and bad people and bad actions. And I had to, so in addition to giving up the state to be quote unquote sober, to be working a program in Status Anonymous, let's say, you have to definitely give up the state, give up voting, give up saying, but without the government, who would build the roads? Just give it all up because it's all BS. We're not communists. We're capitalists. We're anarcho-capitalists. We're small, so small government, we make small government Republicans look like FDR. That's all I'm trying to say. That's working a program in Status Anonymous. We want a government so small, it's theorized about by particle physicists, as Davy Barker said. So, but part of my recovery in Status Anonymous was deciding that it wasn't really doing anything good to keep hammering against other libertarians on the air, because I had exposed all of them that were the major sore thumbs that were making the movement. There's no movement. They were making us look bad. They're making me look bad. I don't have a mouse in my pocket. There's no us. This is an individual thing. So, you know, we went after Molyneux. We went after Berwick. We went after, who else did we? I can't even remember. There's so many of them. You guys remember?
He that shall not be named.
Oh, Chris Cantwell. Chris Cantwell actually wrote a good article the other day about he finally encountered some brutalists that were so brutalist they bummed him out, Damon and Ashley. And it's actually a really good article. It's a great article, and people should check it out. They should also go to damondocs.com, the website. Cantwell links in there that tells you all about these horrible people who have done horrible things to me and other people, and done them over the internet, and then done them in person to people in New Hampshire. And Damon Docs, damondox.com, is a site warning people and showing pictures of what these people look like and what their real names are. So check that out. And I tip my hat to Cantwell on that one. I've always said he can write. I've never complained that he's not a true ANCAP, and I've never complained that he can't write. I just complained that he's kind of a brutalist, and I guess he met his brutalist match. So, yeah, I went through about 4 months of just railing at people I had issues with on the radio. And it served a purpose in the libertarian community, especially on the podcast version of this. But on the radio, it was kind of like people were listening in their cars out in America in these 32 different towns going like, what are they talking about? Who are these people? It's kind of like, okay, you know, in grade school and high school, the principal gives the announcements, and then sometimes they let one of the kids from the AV club go on and like give the announcements. And then, you know, we always kind of fantasize, like I always fantasized, because I always wanted to be in front of a microphone from a really young age. I always fantasized, like, what if I could just go in there and lock the door when the principal's not in there and get on there and say all my thoughts to the whole school and what I don't like about Billy and Bobby and Sally. Well, the Freedom Fiends was kind of becoming that. It was kind of becoming like Michael Dean's personal beef with people most people never heard of, syndicated on national radio. So,
would you like some gravy with that pod beef?
Yes, pod beef. Mm. You know, I heard Facebook called Face Beast recently. I like that. You ever heard that?
No, I haven't. But
it's good.
I may have to adopt that.
Yep. So anyway, I decided that part of my Status Anonymous recovery was not beefing with people have never heard of on the radio. So, and I was sober in that sense. I kept to that for a month. And then the other day I slipped. I think I said something about Mark Stevens accidentally getting an anarcho-communist flag when he meant to get an anarcho-capitalist flag, because he didn't know the difference, and making fun of him for that, which he did do. And there is video. Just search, Mark M-A-R-C Stevens Libertopia, and you'll see video of that big red and black commie flag behind him. And he's not a commie, which is funny. So, you know, today when Jim actually somebody else sent me this thing about Jeff Berwick's dating tips, and I told Jim I wanted to talk about it. I was like, but I can't do that. I'll relapse in Status Anonymous. And what did you say, Jim?
I said, you already relapsed. We might as well get drunk before we go back to AA.
Before we go back to rehab. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, that's the old AA loser thing of if you relapse, people often justify it and say, well, I don't, if I'm going to have to go back to a meeting and raise my hand as a newcomer, I might as well go on a bender. And the weird thing is people tend to die during those benders because they're off of it and they think they're safe and their tolerance is down. And actually what it is once you've got some recovery in your brain, drinking doesn't really work the way it used to. You know, you can't like be carefree being intoxicated on anything after you've like kind of internalized the fact that, yeah, you're an addict, you're an alcoholic. So when people relapse like that, they tend to like, and they also have like the guilt of like, oh, my friends are going to be ashamed of me. So they tend to like really overdo it to kind of quiet that voice in their head. You know, I know people that have like had years clean and then gone out and relapsed and died of overdoses or car accidents. So, Jim, let's have an overdose and car accident of Jeff Berwick. What do you got for us there? Explain who Berwick is and why people should care first.
All right. So Berwick was a rapper in the 90s in Canada who ended up becoming a bad rapper. And he's also a bad financial advisor.
And he's actually admitted he was a bad rapper, but he's never really admitted he was a bad financial advisor. Or at least he said he's made a mistake, but he said he's going to make people whole. This thing with the Galt's Gulch thing in South America, like a bunch of people invested, 25 or 30 people invested their life savings on this guy's advice because he passes himself off as a millionaire, although he's told me he's pretty much bankrupt. And like people lost $7 million. This is kind of the biggest story in Liberty, but the guy still has a million friends and like just threw this huge party in Acapulco and a bunch of people went down and had a great time. So, you know, it's hard to talk smack about him because everyone thinks he's great, but he did encourage people to make investments that ended up with people losing about $7 million. And, he says he's going to try to get the money back. He said that on The Fiends. I asked him. And that was back around the time he hired me to do some consulting. I did about $600 worth of consulting for him. That's why his audio sounds way better than it used to. And then when I went to get paid, I've told this story before, but I didn't say who it was, but I'm ready to say who it was. When I went to get paid about 3 months later, you know, we did like a few hours here and there over 3 months time. When I finally went to get paid, he was like, oh, I didn't hire you. I thought you were doing this because you were a good guy. So that's a big red flag for me, for someone who's a financial advisor, that they hire you and forget they hired you. So I went back and found all the emails and sent them to him. And he's finally like, well, I guess I can see why you think I hired you, but I don't think I did, but I'll pay you 2/3 of what you think I owe you. Or 3/4. It was something like that. And, you know, so he kind of welched on a thing. Here's what happened. Like he asked me an audio question. He said, somebody told me you're the guy to talk to. And, I answered his question and he said, great. I have other questions. And I'm like, well, I charge for consulting after the first question, like $75 an hour. And he said, well, what would you charge for the whole thing? A flat fee. And I said, probably around $1,200. And I said, but I'd rather get paid by the hour. And I do a lot for each hour. You'll get your money's worth. So he asked me more questions. And I said in the email, I think we're getting into paid consulting here. And I answered his question. He asked more questions. I kept answering him, figured he'd hired me. It seemed like he had. And at some point, I sent an email and said, he asked another question. And I said, about a month later, we need to get on Skype at some time and discuss how much you owe me so far for the consulting we've done. He asked me more questions. That was his reply. I answered the questions. He came on the Freedom Fiends. I introduced him as, this is a good guy. I'm doing some consulting work for him. You know, and that's like more evidence that he'd hired me. But he forgot that, like, or didn't feel like I'd hired him. So it was kind of my fault for not getting it in writing. But I've also heard that he doesn't like to put stuff in writing because he thinks he's an honorable guy and wants everything to be a handshake. So that's my experience with him. I can't say he ripped me off, but I could totally say I'd never work with him again and I'd never recommend anyone have any dealings with him like that. That's my experience. But we're going to talk about the lighter side of Jeff Berwick when we get back from his trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends. We are talking about libertarian bon vivant, jet-setting playboy, Jeff Berwick. And he is a jet-setting playboy. I met him in life and thought he was kind of charming. My wife was like, I didn't like his vibe. As soon as we left him, he's kind of dresses like he's in shape. He's in his mid-30s. He's got a tan all the time. He wears like he kind of dresses like Don Johnson in Miami Vice. He wears like white suits and white collared shirts, open too many buttons too low to show his chest, that kind of thing. And he wrote an article on dating advice. Now, here's something I know about Jeff Berwick. I can prove this if he ever calls me on it. That guy has gone up to at least two women, and I've heard more, who are married or in a long-term relationship, hanging out with their boyfriends or husband, like arm in arm with their boyfriends or husband. Boyfriend or husband leaves the room and Berwick hits on him. Now, that's probably not a violation of the non-aggression principle, but it's not something I'd recommend people do. So read some of this article, Jim. You read the name of the article and then say how you summarized it.
Okay, so the title of it is Libertarian Loneliness, Why Libertarians Have Problems Hooking Up. And the Reader's Digest condensed version is, do you even lift, bro?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of just an excuse to show lots of pictures of him lifting weights and with his shirt off, puffing out his chest on a yacht. Is that the yacht he sank? Because I know he like nearly died in a boating accident at one point, didn't he?
Yeah, I didn't even know about that until someone mentioned that.
Was the Galt's Gulch right money on that boat? That would be a good excuse. Yeah, I went down the boat. I'm raising money now for a diving crew to rescue your money. Send me money. Okay, here's the thing. Yeah. I am not saying Jeff Berwick is a scammer. I don't know that he is, but I really don't think he can still call himself a financial advisor at this point. And that's kind of what he makes his living at. And yeah.
And me personally, I honestly don't think that he was the one behind taking the money and running. I personally don't believe that. But yeah, the whole financial advisor thing is really questionable at this point.
And like, here's
why would
the
you
thing.
Say that after that whole incident? And you're not even a millionaire
here's
anymore.
You're right. He's not. Here's the thing. He was a millionaire during the dot-com boom in San Francisco, and he probably can still get credit with people to go rent a yacht or rent a hotel to look like a rich playboy. I have the email from him where he said he's nearly bankrupt, and that's the quote, nearly bankrupt, because when he was hassling me over the money he owed me, I made some really crass remark to him, like effing millionaires never pay their bills, and he wrote back to me and said, hey man, that's not fair. That's kind of too far. And besides, I'm not rich anymore. As a matter of fact, after this past year, I'm practically bankrupt. I have that on record. He said that to me. So, basically people think he is a financial advisor who should be listened to because they think he's a multimillionaire. And they think that he is, a cool guy who, hey, everyone wants to hang out with because he's a millionaire. He told me he's practically bankrupt. Now, there are people who are probably millionaires who are bankrupt. Bankrupt can mean different things to different people. But, he's he's advising other people how to do their finances and manage their own affairs. And he has told me he's practically bankrupt, and he told it to try to get out of $600 he owed me that he'd hired me, that it sure seemed like from the trail of evidence I have that he'd hired me. But I think he forgot. I think he hired me. Yeah. He always has a glass of wine in his hand. Maybe he had some wine, hired me, and forgot.
A little too drunk speak to remember. Up. Oh, speak yeah, up, I heard that guy, didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot I hired you. I'm sorry. Maybe. I'll be right back. I got to get more wine.
All right, so we've dropped right. a bunch of so bad truth article. Here. Let's talk about this funny article.
Yeah, the fun stuff is he wrote an article, and he's basically explaining to libertarian men, because there was two other articles by a different website called 7 Reasons Libertarian Men Make the Perfect Boyfriends and 7 Reasons Why Libertarians Make the Most Amazing Girlfriends. And his response is to kind of get those two together and try to get guys to connect with libertarian women and make everybody happy. And it's really just bad. Just, it's basically the whole entire thing is, if you're fat, lose weight, if you're thin, gain muscle, and, women will love you.
And here's a bunch of pictures of me shirtless and lifting on my yacht.
Yeah.
Hey ladies.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, the two, when he's on his yacht, he's really skinny and scrawny, and there's one of him in front of the Hoover Dam with his thumb pointing down, and he's a little skinny scrawny guy. And then
why
after
is his
that
thumb
he
pointing
said
down?
Do steroids,
because it was a government project.
Yeah, he looks like he's kind of like, this is the dam and down points my thumb.
That's no, probably it. It was an FDR work this. Project, wasn't it? Although
mm-hmm.
it's what produces the energy you're talking to us on right now. Not to say that yep. wouldn't have went, not to say it wouldn't have happened in the libertarian market, but all right, we'll be back with more on Jeff Chat on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to market. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Words.
All right, here we go. Freedom Fiends. I have a cold still, or a flu, or a lung infection, or the government flu. It's Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends talking to Lou Sander Fiend, Jim Jesus. Jim Jesus is like everybody's favorite new fiend, man. People really dug Jim, and he's even better tonight on his second show. So
he's today, got that new fiend smell.
Today, he has the new fiend smell. Yep. And you can't, you cannot buy the new fiend smell in a spray. You have to earn it. All right, so Jim or Lou, tell us about Jeff Berwick. Is it Berwick or Berwick? I don't know. I really don't know.
I think it's Berwick.
I think it's Berwick.
Okay. Rawr. Go ahead.
That would be the proper German pronunciation.
All right, what do you got, Jim? Speak up, son, like you're on radio.
All right, so he wrote that article, and, you know, just showing pictures of him when he was scrawny, and then pictures of him when he was, you know, buffed and riffed, and he says, do steroids, and get lift steroids. Some weights, and stop being shy.
Don't steroids shrink your, like, the whole reason you'd want to do lift weights to meet women? Don't they shrink your nads?
So I'm told.
Yeah. Although he probably says that's no a government experience. Lie, huh? The government says that. It must not be true.
And you know what? I'm all for getting people to lose weight and start getting a little bit more fitness. Like, I bought a kettlebell, and I'm losing weight, and I'm gaining muscle mass, and that's great. And I lost my jowls, and I'm very proud of that. But at the same time, this article is just silly. It's like, duh. We all know that if you don't look like a fat slob, that, you know, you'll be more attractive to the opposite sex.
And although, you know, okay.
The steroid stuff is ridiculous.
First of, yeah, it is. I've lived with a guy who's doing steroids, a weightlifter, and he had it made him crazy. It really did. He had raid rage. Who would build the road raid rage? He had roid rage. So there is one thing I like in this article that you don't hear in a lot of pickup artist kind of articles, and it's that he says, if you have trouble with the opposite sex, stop blaming the opposite sex. And I totally agree with that. I really hate the men's rights movement and the feminazis that blame all their problems, including Molyneux, who blame all their problems. He's a feminazi. I hate it when people blame all their problems with the opposite sex on the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a man and every woman you meet is a creep, that's your fault. Or if every woman you meet doesn't treat you right, or if every woman you meet runs away, That's on you, man. That's not womankind.
Yeah, there is a little bit of truth.
Speak to, up, like, son.
Things. Yeah, there's a little bit. Sorry, there's a little bit of truth to that whole thing that women like jerks thing, but that's not exactly true, and it's more like of a way to explain it to idiots. It's not that. It's more mostly that humans go after things that, you know, that retreat. You know, it's animals do it too. Animals don't go and sick rocks. They go after animals that dart in and out of bushes and stuff like that. We pursue that which retreats, and. Huh. You know, if being a jerk does that in practice, you know, you're going to have idiots selling you that secret, you know, and that's what the PUAs are doing. It's just
PUAs,
pick up artists.
Okay. PUAs. That's a thing of like building confidence through trying to pick up women. And they think there's magical words like sovereign citizens think to do it. And I do kind of agree with one of the things, you know, like they talk about alphas and betas. Do they have any third designation like deltas or gammas, or is it just alphas and betas?
I think it's just alphas and betas.
Okay, so they basically
everything's very like it's kind of like formulaic, but it's not real. It doesn't really work that well.
And there
are little nuggets of truth to trying to make it seem like it works. But if you
same with the sovereign citizens, they all have success stories of the parking ticket. They just they just don't talk about all the people in jail for felonies for trying their stuff.
Yeah,
I will forego the comment about the fringe on the flag.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard the concept pickup artist, but I've heard it since before it was a website or a movement. I mean, that was a term in the 70s. But I've never really heard this kind of new version of it that seems to seep over into like the libertarian world and into the men's rights movement world and Damon docs.com, damondox.com. That guy's apparently into it, although I really don't think he's very successful at it. Apparently, if he were, he wouldn't be busy calling everyone else beta virgins. He would just be out being an alpha, you know, living off the fun of being an alpha. So, exactly. But the thing that kind of makes sense to me now that I've heard it is their theory that, like, you know, there's alphas and betas. Alphas are the jerks, or alphas are the kind of standoffish, like confident dudes who just exude testosterone or just exude cool and don't really chase women. And women just kind of want to be with them, but women don't want to marry them. They want to they marry the betas, who are the providers, who are really sweet. Like, yes, dear, what should I do, dear? You know, who probably can't F like a beast, but they can, you know, they have a job and they can provide and they can be a good dad. So I guess the concept is this right? The concept of pickup artists have is that and they want to be alphas, but most of them are probably betas, but there is this correct that their concept is like, yeah, be an alpha and be the one that gets all the tail. And then when they're done with you, you go on to the next one. And then when they're done with a bunch of men and sick of a bunch of alphas, they'll go marry a beta. Is that the theory?
Kind of, but they also have all these little like rules and formulas and situational, like, you know, stuff that you have to remember. Like, okay, if you see a pack and there's three people, you have to peacock. And then you have
what?
They have like this whole like cult terminology and stuff like that.
Now, did you try this, or do you just know this because you're into debunking stuff and you've studied their website?
Yeah, I've seen videos of them doing it, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. People pay for this, and it's they sell books, they lectures and videos, and they had a TV show for a while, and it was all bad. And like, there, you can go online and see videos of people like how they'll take the video and say like. Like this is what they're doing. Like, and notice how like the girl's like totally uninterested, but they're trying to present it like, oh, this is science. And then like he'll come back and be like, oh, she wasn't interested because I peacocked before I realized that she was with more than three friends. And
what the hell is peacocking? Like showing off your feathers?
Yeah, you're basically kind of like doing something spectacular to get their attention, and or something like that. It's
just, well, I'll say this: Jim and I are not the best looking, best in shape guys ever, and we've never had problems of loneliness. Right? Would you say it's accurate?
I did in high school, and then I was listening to, I guess, I don't really want to call him a PUA because he's really not. He doesn't do this kind of stuff. He just kind of gives you some rules and suggestions. Tom Likas. And I know you're aware of him.
Oh, the radio show guy?
Radio talk show.
Yeah, he's a radio show guy in LA. He's kind of slightly libertarian, but kind of right wing, but kind of just a yeller, right?
Yeah, he used to do like a political talk show that was fairly right wing.
Isn't he an actor too? Isn't he in Star Trek or something?
No.
That's somebody else.
He's a he calls himself Quasimodo, but that's his whole thing. Is like, I'm big. He's a really fat, heavy set, ugly guy, and he gets lots of women, and he found a niche on the radio teaching guys how to do that. And it's not like, you know, peacocking and all that stuff. He just basically says, look, you know, like, you guys are idiots, and that's why I sell ad space. And because you're idiots, I'm going to explain this to you really simple. You know, you be a jerk, avoid single mothers, and just basically kind of keeping guys out of trouble, you know, idiots who are going to go and, you know, be failures at getting women, and kind of give them some advice and get them the right way. And a lot of these PUAs have taken his advice and tried to like make it scientific sounding so they could sell books. And
do they have like six step programs and things like that? Did they put it into steps?
I don't think so. It's really kind of convoluted and unnecessary.
Jim, for those who don't know, Jim is extraordinarily critical of AA, and I'm very supportive of the idea of AA, but we're still on this show together and we get along. Cause he has scientific reasons of why he thinks AA is a bad idea. And I have experience of being in rooms with hundreds of people for years whose lives have become better from AA. So I don't buy his so-called science, but even it's pretty much the only place he and I disagree, I think. Lou, yeah, what say you?
I think Jim was right about people wanting what they can't have. You know, it's kind of like cats that chase the red laser dot on the floor, or Republicans trying to win a presidential election. It's just things that they can't have.
I think there needs to be a meme about voting and cats chasing laser dots. Because I have laser dots, and I've put them away. I don't play with my cats with them anymore. It makes the cat depressed. They get them really excited at first, but they can never catch it. And they just kind of like give up and just look sad. And I don't want to do that to cats.
Well, you have to string them along, no pun intended. But I think when it comes
to... Oh, they like string much better because they can catch it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think when it comes to making connections with the opposite sex for romantic purposes, or just, you know, even, you know, sharing some time and companionship, confidence goes a long way. And women like guys that are funny. They don't like guys that look funny.
Yeah. Jeff Berwick has
Groucho Marx.
Jeff Berwick.
Groucho Marx had a great quote. And
Jeff Berwick's. I'm going to finish this, Jim. Jeff Berwick has an 80s new wave haircut. All right, go on.
Yeah, Groucho Marx had a great quote, and it kind of summarizes the whole thing. It's act like a woman can't join your club, and she'll do almost anything to get in.
Huh?
And that's kind of been my philosophy, and it's worked. And I'm not trying to be like some crazy player getting all kinds of women. You know, I just, you know, want to have some companionship every once in a while, but for the most part of them, I'm a misanthrope, I guess. And I like to sit in my little cave and do nothing.
You
all
like
day.
That word, misanthrope. Yeah, my word. Somebody now. Used the guy whoever made DamonDocs.com used that word to describe Damon. And I never heard you use that word. I think you read it on there and it kind of seeped into your subconscious.
Yeah. Well, someone tweeted it to me.
Oh, said that should be my wrestling name. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, that's awesome. I want that.
Yeah. The misanthrope.
I had to Google it first.
I'm going to add that. The misanthropic, what is it? Mongoose?
Mongoose.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm adding it. On I the have site a wrestling right now.
I have a wrestling name.
Yeah. So wrestle. I guess I was a player. I hate that term. I was actually more kind of into serial monogamy, although there was a point when I was in a band when I was dating seven women. But what I said about that was that dating seven, and they knew about each other. I said dating seven women isn't seven times the fun. It's seven times the hassle, and one of them always feels like killing you. And that's absolutely true. But more than that, in my life, I've always kind of been into serial monogamy. And a lot of times with relationships that didn't last for years, they lasted for like 3 months to 9 months. But I've never in my life, you know, ever since I was probably 18, I first had sex when I was 14, but I've never, after like once I went to college, you know, and then it was like 8 months, the first 8 months of college. But like, you know, after 19, I've never not been with someone when I didn't want to be with somebody. There were times when I didn't want to be with somebody, when I'd have a really painful breakup and I'd be like, no, I'm just going to throw myself into my work. But, and also, I am the only person in my family of six people who's never been divorced, and I never will be. I love my wife. I dig her. She's my best friend. And I think the reason I'm the one that's never been divorced in my family is because I didn't get married until I was 43, and everybody else in my family got married really young. So I got it all out of my system, man, basically. all that catting around. We'll be back. Worms.
Why? You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends! And the topic is, for the redemption in the third act, the topic is why freedom fiends make the best boyfriends and girlfriends. Actually, that's not the theme. We're making fun of this article that's linked off of Jeff Berwick's Libertarian Loneliness article, which is basically called, what is it? You said it was like, bro, why don't you even lift?
Do you even lift, bro?
Yeah. I don't know the memes. All right. So
steroids.
One of these articles is... And it's this horrible link bait site, the Libertarian Republican. Libertarian Republic. Libertarian Republican, I've talked about before.
That's it pretty much is. This is about. Austin Peterson's web. Yeah, this is Austin Peterson's
website.
Who's he? Website.
He's like, what's your beef with him?
He was one of the people on my cards. The edgy.
He complained.
He complained.
Cantwell didn't even complain.
He just blocked me.
Now, we're burying the lead. We're talking about your card sets, Libertarians Against Humanity from libertariansagainsthumanity.com. Great stuff, and it's funny, and it's kind of self-explanatory if you go to the website. But you made cards kind of making fun of people in liberty, and for a card game Cards Against Humanity and concepts. I'm one of the people...
I agreed with.
I'm one of the people you make fun of in there. So is... And some of the people I make fun of are in there. And I had a really good humor about it to the point where I helped you write a few of the cards. So What did Austin Peterson do? What was the card? What did it say?
It said an edgy Austin Peterson comment that's really a typical neocon position. And there's articles where he's saying, like, we should go in and bomb Iran or nuke Iran and stuff like that. So he is a cryptid.
Well, that is a lot crypto, like... Then the Libertarian Republic is a lot like the website Libertarian Republican, which I've complained about before and talked about how I think the guy who wrote it, who's been in my house, I've met him, I think he is maybe on the short list of people who would be the authors of the racist Ron Paul newsletters. But go on.
Yeah. So I guess there's an article
up on the mic.
Libertarian
mic
Republic.
Technique. Oh. Talk into the mic, brother. This is a teaching hospital, son.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to read it.
No, I got several,
at the same time because this is one of those link bait websites.
I got several comments from people who said Jim is great, but he's got to work on his mic technique. So work on your mic technique, Jim.
Okay, so and this was especially hard because it's one of those kind of BuzzFeed articles.
Yeah,
we have to click next to read the whole article like five times. It's terrible.
Yep.
So it's seven reasons why libertarian women make the best girlfriends, and they also have one for men too. And it's basically because they have money. And
most libertarians don't have money. There are a few millionaires.
No, they don't.
Out there,
we're all poor.
And a few ex-millionaires pretending to be millionaires. Well, I was doing okay until Obama said I was going to get butt raped in prison if I didn't buy health insurance. And we make too much for me to qualify for government help and not enough to really afford the insurance. So suddenly, thanks, Obama. I'm poor again. All right, go on.
Thanks, Obama.
Libertarians are great at talking about capital, but not very good at accumulating it. Kind
that
of Karl
is
Marx.
So true, man. Karl Marx was a vampire. What didn't he live off his wife's family or something? And
He sponged off of anybody that he could.
He had servants,
too. He never did a day of hard labor in his life, but he was the spokesperson for the plight of the working man.
And the spokesperson for people who later took his ideas and in them included sending people to do hard labor if they didn't agree with him.
Yep.
All right, so, Link, what's number one on this?
All right, so the first one is, she'll respect your privacy. Okay, so the downside is she may fantasize about Edward Snowden sometimes, but you know the girl is never going to try to read your text or log into your Facebook, and I don't buy that for a moment.
I know, I don't either.
There's not a single woman.
My wife is the exception to all of these, and that's why I'm married to her, but I can think of libertarian women that we know and are friends with on Facebook who violate all of these, but go on.
She understands that you're a free being with agency, and you and your right to secrets is something that she'll defend in and out of the public sphere. It's so hard because the website is so bad to read from afar.
Yeah. That's why you need two computers, then, Jim. Do you have two computers?
Yeah.
You need two computers.
No, I have one, and it's right in front of me, but I'll
sell you a laptop. I'll sell you a netbook cheap. I've got one I'd sell for $200. I'll put Linux on it for you if you're a hipster.
I'll think about it. I got to move first. All right. But yeah, I don't think you should be dating libertarian women. You should be dating statist women and converting them to libertarians. We need more.
That is great. I love that. Yeah, don't be like the Shakers who died out because they didn't have sex. Be like the libertarians who have sex.
Be like the movers.
The movers. Be like the movers in New Hampshire. They have sex. And then they talk about it on LRN. They have sex with a bunch of different partners to talk about on LRN. I've been there, done that. That's tired. I've been there, done that with my wife. It's tired. All right. We're going to... Great show, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Rock and roll. Worms. Cis worms. Cis worms.
Cis worms.
You cis worm. All right. Thank you for your service, Jim. And Lou, thank you for your food service in the Army.
Hey, you're very welcome. Just doing my germ.
I feel freer already. Just doing your germs.
Gerb.